Hello and welcome to another episode of GT Radio. Tonight I have a very special episode. Travis O'Neill from Angel of the Winds is with us and he has some great stories. Travis, how are you?
Good. How are you, Tino?
Very, very well. So in 1862, something happened that was tragic, but it was also something that is etched in history, in American history, which is the largest mass hanging in the country, and it happened to your tribe, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So first of all, I want to thank you for inviting me to do this. This is an honor. So the story.
The honor's ours.
Thank you. The story is a member of the Lower Sioux community in Minnesota, and grew up within the same area, the same reservation, a half mile from the site of the Dakota War of 1862. And that history, nobody really knows. You don't hear about it in history books or anything, really. I think it's kind of one of those things that happened in this location, and nobody really wanted to talk about it or admit it or whatever that is. So that is something that, like you and I discussed previously, something that sticks with me because it is who I am, and it does remind me that, you know, working out here in Washington now, that I need to know the history of the Sylgwamish tribe also, and to make sure that,
of course,
what we do in the casino industry, and you know, when guests come to the facility and the property, it's all nice and everything else, but who we work for is what this is all about, and that is something that that situation again sticks with me in history, and I grew, like I said, grew up a half a mile from there. That's my family. It's there. So when I go home, that's always going to be home, and it's been an important piece of, again, that drives me forward to do my best.
Yeah. Some of those things are etched in history for the forever. Tell us a little bit about growing up on the res. What was that like?
Yeah.
You grew up on the res before there was gaming, right?
Exactly, yeah. So this is, again, Lower Sioux Indian community is located in southwestern Minnesota. We're not, I know it's the land of 10,000 lakes, but we didn't have any lakes around us that were really recreational, if you want to call it that. We were pretty much surrounded by 10,000 farms, so it's nothing but farmland, but it ain't home. And but we did have the Minnesota River next to us, and that's where I, you know, hunted and fished with my friends, and growing up in Minnesota, that's something that I'll always cherish. And so, yeah, before gaming, so I was, you know, I'm almost 40, I'll be 47 this year. When it first got started in the mid-80s, I was, you know, with the bingo hall movement and then moved into the casino, I was in my mid-teens, you know, 13, 15, 16, something like that. And my relatives, my uncles, my stepdad was in the operation, the bingo hall operation before, and then again, even when it turned into a casino. So growing up before the casino and bingo hall thing, you know, again, there were struggles just like anywhere else. We had relied on federal subsidies just like every other tribe, I assume. But we didn't know any different. And it's something that I don't know how else to explain it. It was a good life.
Yeah.
But today I'm sure it's a lot different for a lot of people. But back then it was, you worked for the tribe or you worked for a local business in town, and you did your best. But again, it was normal operation.
It was kind of, it's like
very rural.
Yeah, it's kind of thing. Yeah. Like you said, you didn't really know any difference, right?
No, exactly.
That's what it was.
But I mean, and through that, again, I cherish those times, and looking back on what we had and what was available, we did the best with it. And my mom is the middle of, she had 8 brothers, so it was and it still is a big family that everybody looked out for each other. Grandparents and uncles were involved in the tribal government side of things, and throughout the 70s, my grandpa was tribal chairman in the late 70s, and again, it's something that I respect tremendously.
Yeah, and you had also mentioned when we spoke that things were really different before the casinos came along, there was more a sense of closeness because that's all you knew, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everybody had essentially the same kind of struggles, the same kind of issues. It was the tribe depended upon, like I said, fertile subsidies and just like a small gravel pit. And then we also had land that was, you know, rented out or leased to local farmers. And but it was, I don't believe, you know, again, I could be speaking out of turn, but I don't know if there were very many tribal members that could afford the expense of the equipment to actually be farmers. I mean, everyone had their own, you know, little plot to help with the food source and everything else. But back then, it was, you know, it was relying upon that type of revenue to survive.
Let me ask you, because this is something that's come up in other interviews with
yeah.
a lot of other Native friends of mine. A lot of the land that was given to the Natives was useless, right? They did that on purpose, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, that's something that once, yeah. you know, you look at history books and what was documented, I guess, as soon as some other sort of valuable thing was found, if it's gold, if it was oil, if it was whatever else, that's too good or that's, we need that. So it was, you know, push them back, push them into this, push them in whatever else. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, a lot of the land was not the best, but again, you may do, I guess. And if it wasn't for those.
Yeah.
previous generations that were strong enough to survive, you know, again, we're all here and doing well.
Talk a little bit about the elders and what kind of people they were and what they had to do to survive.
Yeah, I don't think I'm sure I could, but put myself in their shoes, I don't know how I could do that, but I do know that they... You know, again, speaking of my history and my memory, they knew what was important, if that makes sense. And,
Yeah, of course. Makes total sense.
That's any different today, but I think it's a different level. And, you know, that strong family, those strong family values that they somehow ingrain in you when you're growing up, I think that's the important part of it is something that, You really don't realize, but other than when you get older, you know, you get in your middle age, whatever you want to call it, it's something to look back on, and then you learn to appreciate it.
Yep, yeah, you sure do. Tell me a little bit about your education and then how your first casino job came about.
Yeah, so, again, kind of when I was in that area, in that age, in the mid-80s into the 90s, finishing, getting to the end of my high school career. That's something that once the bingo hall kind of changed into the casino business, and I know that Lower Sioux Jackpot Junction is the name of the property, we were the first ones to bring slot machines into the state. So it was a big deal. I mean, that was huge.
And yeah.
To do that, again, created more revenue. It brought more revenue to the tribe. They could do other things. So I don't think I was the first one, but I know I was in the middle of that age group where there's more money for education. There's more money for things that previously could not have been afforded so well, or you had to go into student debt, you had to take on student loans, you had to do things that a lot of people were not comfortable with. That, you know, again, it's hard enough to go to school and then to have to, which again, I know everybody has to deal with, but I, you know, again, I chose to move on to college. And to get an education, but still work in the casino. So if I can back up a few years, so when I'm 15, 16,
yeah.
like, my stepdad and uncles were in the operation thing, and it was to me very exciting and very interesting from the beginning. And I would beg my stepdad and my uncles to take me and just help clean up after a bingo session, just because it was cool.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's kind of where my passion comes from, and I still have that. I still enjoy this business. I still want to do the best we possibly can with whatever we're given. Let's do the best we can. And so that's kind of where I gained my passion for the industry way back when, and you know, it's something that will always stick with me. So it's been something that after when I finally could get a job there, I'm turning 18, I start out as a cashier. worked through high school, and I wanted to know the rest of the operation in different departments. Wanted to figure it out myself and to be exposed to all these other things. So I, when asked, I would work wherever. I, the other one I worked on was the count team. When it was all coins, it was all dollar tokens and big heavy equipment machinery where we come bring the drop in and weigh it and then sort it and all that stuff and then have to roll it back up and back out and sell it. And that was an experience. And then, after that, moved into head cashier and then moved in casino shift manager. And then throughout my college, I think it was last year, given a great opportunity to fill the position of assistant GM for the casino. And I did that for 7 years. And then I moved out here 12 years ago as general manager of Angels of the Winds Casino.
Yeah, just an amazing story. Tell me, when you were, what is it that you love about the casino business?
I think it's that no day is ever going to be the same. You could, again, everything, there is some consistency in it, don't get me wrong, but there's always something to me that we can improve upon. I'm not the type of person to, throw my feet up on the desk and say, hey, this is good enough. Let's just ride this out. I don't have that ability. Not that it's an ability, but I would rather see things improve. And there's always that, to me, that level, that bar always has to be raised. And how do we meet it or match it or exceed it next time? No matter if we're talking about a promotion, we're talking about something within the food outlets, whatever that is, how do we continue to improve? And that's something that, again, that drives me, because if we didn't continue to do that, similar to previous generations, if I can somehow relate it, that they didn't just sit there. They try to do their best.
Yeah, they were always pushing and trying to make things better all the time, right?
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit, what don't you like about the casino or any part of the resort business? What's the hardest thing for you to manage or to do?
I think, expectations, with some things, again, you have good days, you have bad days, and making sure that overall, consistency-wise, that the good days outweigh the bad days. But I think it is, you see the other side of the business. You see what happens to people and whatever. That is hard to recognize within the industry, but it's there. You can't ignore it. You've got to, be upfront about it, and what can we do to make sure we address those concerns so it's not just something that we ignore. So that is one thing. But then, another part of that is just the commitment itself. I mean, to have a balance of work life, that is an important thing. That if family's huge to me. So if you're not taking time to get to those events, or you're not taking time to just get away from it too, that has to be there.
Some people say, well, I'm just too busy. It's a 7 day a week business.
Yeah, and that can be a problem too. But I think for myself, I'm very fortunate to have a strong team. If you don't have a strong team, or you're kind of the micromanager type, this business can drive you insane. But as long as you're able to, let go and not get into the weeds on everything, because you can, and let people do their jobs, it does create a nice cohesive team that will be able and be there to handle anything that, say, I got to step away, or I got to go do something for a while and I'll be out of the office for a few days, whatever. I know that my team will be there to make decisions, to do the best they possibly can. And even if that decision isn't the right one, what did we learn from that? What can we do in the future? So then it's a learning opportunity, and it's not something that is, used against them, or they're comfortable in that, to make sure that, if you can tell me why this decision was made, I understand it. I can see why and how, whatever we're dealing with, this is why we're here. That to me is a huge thing, to make sure people are comfortable with that, to know that I'd rather have someone make a decision and then we deal with it, other than just not. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What does it take to build a great team? I mean, that must be very difficult, right?
Well, you know, it things change, and to me, some of it is luck. I will admit, working with some great people here for 12 years, they come and go. You know, there's different opportunities, whatever else. But the thing that I look for, that is something that it seems simple, but it's not. Some people don't understand it, but it to me to identify those individuals that care more about the responsibility and the job than the title. That they understand what the responsibilities are and are able to handle them and are not so much caught up in, well, I'm going to be this or I want to be that. It's more or less giving them the opportunity to prove or to show what they can do. And at the end of whatever time period, they're more proud of that too. You're able to create things. You're able to do things that you would have never thought that this, you know, whatever place you're discussing, I guess, I can refer to Angel of the Winds recently. You know, again, the history here is it was a small casino in the woods is what they called it way back 12, 14 years ago. And from what we've been able to accomplish as a team, that it's amazing to me to look back and see what we've done.
The casino business is probably in its one of its most incredible uprisings than any other right now, with all the building and adding new casinos and new licenses and consolidation. What could, and I know everybody's doing well, but what could be the challenges within the next 5 years?
I think, you know, I think some markets have gone through this already, and you know, again, referring to even Minnesota myself, I know that there is a level of saturation that people have to be aware of, that the days of expansion, that it's great, it's fun, it's exciting, but at some point there will be that, you know, area of, okay, is that enough or what's going on? And then things change politically, regionally, whatever that is, and to be concerned with that, I think every property should do that. But for myself, being a tribal member, I think it is a matter of then taking it to the next level, and having some diversification would be very, I guess, you know, worth it. Because again, if everything's in one basket, you know how that story goes. I think the ability for tribes to look at different opportunities is important. You know, take whatever that is. It's similar to gaming. Whoever is in this situation now, look for those opportunities to create the same type of, and some can and some can't. I understand that. But if we're not looking for those types of opportunities, they're not going to come knocking on your door. Tribes have to go after them. They have to understand what's at risk, but also the opportunities that are there for the tribe to benefit in the future.
What are some of the things what are some of the most important things that you have learned to be successful, not only in the casino business, but in life itself?
Well, like I said, kind of the work-life balance thing, I work how I live. I like to have fun. It's something that I go back, and again, it's kind of simple, but I don't expect anybody to do the same thing that I wouldn't do myself. And like I mentioned, and maybe talk about a little bit here in the future here, but we're under expansion currently, and that's something that I can't wait to get in front of people or kind of get in people's way in the expansion, because I know I'm going to be, but I want to be there. I want to see how things are done. I want to be part of the process. I want to help where I can. So to be, like I said, to understand what the expectations are and responsibilities, I need to show that too. I need to show the team that I'm excited to be here. I'm part of this. How can I help? And I am. I'm willing to do whatever I need to make people understand that it's not just about me. It is about the team. And at the end of, you know, end of the day, end of whatever you want to call it, that we're very fortunate to work here, and that as long as everybody understands that this is about the tribe, this is about their success, this is about their ability to take care of themselves, their future generations, that's what the message is for me.
Do you think that tribes are working together enough to stay on top of their business and their game? Is there enough cooperation between tribes?
See, I think in Washington it's very unique, where and it's very new to me too, that the tribes do work very closely. Again, there are some competitor situations where we're very close, so some of those opportunities are a little bit on the not so strong scale, or however you want to call it. Not that we wouldn't help out, but if there's another tribe that I've noticed in Washington, anyway, that if there's others that are facing a, you know, an expansion, or they're dealing with some sort of issue, and we've already dealt with that, or have, you know, gotten through it or whatever that is, tribes out here are very willing to help out and say, hey, let us help you with this, or whatever we can do to help you out. Because, again, we all face the same issues, and we all learn from that. Why not give someone a head start with that, and to foster that relationship and make sure that they're successful just as well? Because to me, to take it all or to be that type, that's one thing. But I think as long as everybody is successful and is moving forward and providing for their own people, that's what it should be about. So that's something that I have noticed within Washington, and appreciate greatly, because, I mean, there's some great people out here that find that common goal, and we'll run forward with it and make sure that people are still there to understand what they're working on and how can others help. So it is something that I'm sure could be nationwide. It could be, you know, within one state or one region. But, yeah, there's something that should be done everywhere.
Now, you don't look Native. And when we spoke before, you were saying that created some interesting situations for you. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, that's. And again, I don't know any different. I don't. I know who I am.
Yeah, I know.
I come from my heart. So I've been involved with, you know, conversations from people that I've heard a lot of shit. I don't know. Can I say that? I don't know. But
absolutely.
It's something that
absolutely.
But to me, it was. I don't know if I'm put in this position to clarify or to deal with it, but I am, and I will, to make sure that, because, again, something that if I can get into this too, this is very difficult for me, Tino. I don't do this with pretty much anybody. I gotta trust. I gotta have a relationship. So between you and I, we're friends.
Absolutely.
Right? So,
there's no question about that. Absolutely no question. Tell me
a little bit about. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
well,
go ahead.
Dealing with that for years, it's just something that it's just part of who I am. So yeah, I may not have the characteristics, whatever people think that should be, but to me, it does matter.
Of course. Let me ask you a little bit about if you were in front of a group of Native people, what would be your message to that younger generation?
I would, you know, again, history. Learn who you are. Learn where you come from. And then also take advantage of, and to me, education is everything. That's something that no matter what happens, no matter what changes, no matter what anybody's dealing with, that's something that cannot be taken away from an individual, right? Because that's something that you always carry with you. So that is something to me that, you know, even my kids, that education is important. It's something that will give you, it'll open doors. It'll do things that you may not, and I didn't understand it either. You know, again, you're 18, you're going to college, you're doing this. But it's something that nobody can take away from you, and it does only make you a better person in the long run. You're not stuck into a rut or understanding of what that possibly is. You have that education to open your mind to, there's other possibilities, there's other ideas, there's other concepts that you always need to be open to that and to learn. So I think the short answer, I guess, is just to make sure that you know who you are. You take advantage of every educational possibility. I would, you know, recommend that highly. And then know yourself and make your community proud.
Yeah, that's a big thing and a big factor.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the earlier thing you said about the Washington tribes and how it's very unique that they work together. Why? And it is. And, you know, I've heard that from a lot of people in Washington, virtually everybody. Why is it just in Washington?
I've only worked in two different markets, and I've only had two different GM jobs, which I'm somewhat proud of. So I don't know. I don't know if it's a matter of, you know, again, they, when the tribes dealing with what they had to when the state and all that, and maybe it was the connection way back when, I don't know, but they do have it where it's very successful. It's very open. It's very inviting. And if other tribes and other areas could learn from that, I think it'd be a great opportunity to again, get all everyone on one page and everyone speaking from the same, about the same goals.
Do you think that the Washington market is different than other markets?
Again, I can only speak of two. I do. Just based on relationships, I think, you know, sometimes people get caught up in competitors, or you're from a different tribe, or you're from a whatever. I know that can be part of the situation, but in Washington, it just seems like, again, we're all, yes, business-wise competitors, but tribal relations and everything else, we're all in the same boat. We all want to make sure that the tribes that are not able to have gaming, that they're able to receive some revenues from some allocation fees and everything else. That, because again, with casinos, obviously location, location, location. So that is another thing that I've come to appreciate out here, is even the tribes that are not within the populace, that do not have millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people, whatever that is, they still can have a revenue source from the gaming activity throughout the state, which is, I think it's a very cool concept. Because not everybody's fortunate enough to have, you know, again, a freeway running right by them or whatever that may be.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Travis, tell us a little bit about, you know, you've had a lot of mentors, and we spoke about this earlier too. What are some of those most important teachings from your mentors? What have they taught you that stuck with you for your entire career and your life?
I think it is, you know, values, to make sure that what I say and do is more, I guess, what I say and do is actually, I actually follow through. That is not, you know, don't just talk about things. I'd rather be judged on what is actually done than what is actually being said, because, you know, words are words, but it's in the work product. It's making sure that if we do something and we say we're going to do something, then follow through with it. So that's something that always sticks with me. And then, again, making sure that if you're in a leadership position, people are always going to be watching you, and they're always going to be judging you for whatever that reason is. And as long as you're consistent with your message, your whatever that your actions, then that's what you're supposed to do, and not take advantage of the situation, not turn it into whatever it is. And that, to realize, to me, you know, again, who do you work for, and what is the goal of that, instead of getting caught up in, you know, and not that I'm a CEO role or whatever, but sometimes in the commercial gaming market, you get into that where how many houses, how many vacation homes does the CEO have, how many helicopters, all that other stuff. That, to me, it doesn't matter. It to me, this is what benefits do we bring to the tribe that we're working for, and how, let them decide that. Let them support their tribal members. Let them support their future generations. That to me is again, you talk about mentors. That is who the focus should be on, not on one certain person, not one certain goal or one certain, you know, again, some area. It's got to be on the right thing.
A lot of people talk about, you know, the sometimes there's a disconnect between the business and the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with your experience, what have you been able to do to make sure that's running smoothly, and everybody's on the same page? What kind of skills does that take?
Well, it takes communication, right? Because if you're not involved or make sure that you're in front of the tribal council or tribal members, whatever that is, that they understand what's happening, and they in turn will tell you what they would like to see or how they would like to see that go. And transparency. I've said since I've joined out here that if there's any question that the Tribal Council Board of Directors has, ask. There's no hidden whatever. I think that goes a long way, right? Because if someone feels like we're not getting the entire picture or whatever else, it can create some stressful situations. And I don't think that really is helpful to anybody other than because it's a distraction. So I think to have that communication, to have the same expectation set, I think is an important piece of this too. So if I'm going to make a decision or be part of this, whatever else, the tribe needs to know why. And I think that even goes into kind of within the employee base. They need to know too, why are we doing things? Because if they're not part of those decisions or able to answer questions on the floor, you leave them out of that equation, you know the guests are going to be asking, why are we doing this? And then we're going to have our employees and our team members stand in front of a guest and say, I don't know. So that's something that I've, you know, and we've, as a team at the casino here, have turned into an opportunity where it's called Talk with Travis on a quarterly basis. I just have an open meeting with any employee that wants to come. And not like it's a huge, you know, spectacle or huge show. It's just, hey, let's sit down, have a cup of coffee or whatever else, and just discuss your concerns, discuss your questions on why things are happening. Because to me, if we're not engaged with the employee, how can we expect them to be engaged on the casino floor and giving the service that we expect? So that, to me, is a combination of making sure that, and then using those opportunities with team members to talk about the tribe, to talk about the donations and the sponsorships and the reinvestment that they have in the local community. And that in turn comes around because then team members start talking amongst their family, their neighbors, their friends, and it's a good circle.
Great. This has been amazing. Should we take some calls?
Sure.
Great. Hello, this is Tino Magdana. I have Travis O'Neill. Do you have a question for him?
Is this the unbelievably handsome Travis O'Neill?
Well, no, wait, let me get him. I think he's... this Conrad?
Conrad is Travis. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. You know, I knew you were on today, and so I had to call in and just, you know, razz you a little bit, but also I was listening in, and it's like, you know, you hear nothing. Everybody may or may not be aware, Travis and I are in the same marketplace. We're not direct competitors because of just your location, but he's up, we're on south of Seattle, and he's up north of Seattle, but he does a great job up there, and we've heard nothing but good things, and we've actually compared notes, and we helped each other on system installs and a few other things.
Right.
But, you know, the things you're talking about, communication, and, you know, it's critical. You know, it's funny you mentioned the coffee, because I started something when I was at Cashada. It was called Coffee with Conrad, doing the exact same thing where, you know, you just have
it.
An open meeting and you know, and then things like that. And then what we did from there, then, because, you know, you get all this input and, you know, you can only do so much. And then you pass that on to directors. And then from there it was donuts with directors. So, you know, so it was something that you know, but
great.
That communication is great. So, you know, I think a question
great.
For Travis is, you know, you've been up there enough, and I think you mentioned some of it, but, you know, you guys are, you know, I know, I guess the question I have is, I heard you're going to add to the hotel. Is that still moving forward?
Yeah, right now we're in the middle of an expansion, about 300,000 square feet. We're adding additional casino space.
Oh, wow.
Additional outlets, parking garage, bowling alley, entertainment space. So, yeah, we're in the middle of this. So if we can get through this within the next probably 9 months, that is the next step for us is a hotel.
Wow.
Because, things are going well. And, you know, knock on wood, just for everybody.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah, we're in the same boat.
Conrad, let me ask you a question. And we were talking about this with Travis, too, as you know. Why is that? Why is there a collaborative spirit in Washington? And you worked in a lot of markets.
You know, that question's been asked, I think, not only to me, but probably Travis, because when we deal with vendors and we deal with people outside the market, we go to NIGA, we go to G2E, and, you know, we hear the same thing. And I had heard that before I came up to Washington. And I think, you know, it's hard to say, but I think it's definitely part of, there's competition. I mean, even my direct competitors, which is, you know, Brian up at Snow or Frank down at Emerald Queen, you know, I think we still have great relationships, and look how we, you know, can help or assist each other. And I think it's just the I don't know if it's in the water, I don't know if it's in the salmon, I don't know what it is up here. It really is unique in that regard, where, you know, you go to other parts of the country, whether it's tribal or non-tribal, but even in the tribal, I mean, you know, parts of Oklahoma, I know properties that, you know, don't even talk to each other, let alone, you know, sit down and have a thing. But even when I was at Cashada, my competition was, you know, non-tribal, but we made a point that literally that I make a point to know my counterparts. And, you know, if I had a question, I'm not going to go send a shopper. I'll call Travis up and, you know, he's not going to give me proprietary information, you know, how many video poker you have, you know, how many 9-6, whatever, you know, whatever it is. But down at Cashada, every 6 weeks we'd meet and we would just rotate, you know, to somebody's casino, and we'd have dinner and, you know, get to know each other and, you know, have a friendly competition. We're still competitive, but I think that gets accentuated up here because we are unique in the gaming aspect of what we do and how we do it, you know, by way of the machines. And, you know, it's just... You know, and I think particularly with the downloadable credits and everything coming in, there have been so many challenges that we as a group have dealt with, you know, the same vendor or vendors. And so it's like, you know, if we all get on the same page, maybe we can get the vendor to do really what we need and not be fighting them all the time. So,
Ed, Conrad,
Travis,
if I can, I think another piece of that is someone like Jerry Allen. You know, you think of him and how he can bring people together, and he's, you know, a great guy, and he's just gregarious and able to create opportunities for people to get to know each other and to discuss things and to share information. I think someone like that is an integral part of why Washington together.
Yeah, I think, you know, it really is. I mean, it is amazing, you know, you talk about Jerry and the people that have been here for that long, or the people in the marketplace, and it really extends, you know, to the, you know, on this side of the Cascades, to the eastern side, and it even extends down, you know, down into Oregon a little bit. So, you know, when we have our WIGA, you know, Northwest Indian Gaming Show, I mean, it's interesting to see everybody come together and what we share and what, you know, how we support each other.
Very cool.
Well, great. Good. Well, I just wanted to call
Conrad,
and say
thanks
hi
so much
for calling, and tell Travis that Travis is doing a great job up there, and just keep it up, buddy. You're doing great.
I appreciate that, Conrad.
Thanks, Conrad.
You got it, guys. Take care. Have a good evening.
Take care.
Have a good night.
Bye. Yeah, bye. Yep. You a little surprise there?
Yeah, I was. Again, I've known Conrad for a few years. Yeah, we actually went down when he was at Cashada to take a look at their hotel project, and that's where I first got to meet him, know him, and then he ended up in here, up in this area. So, yeah, great guy.
Great guy. Yeah, I'd been on the show a few times.
Yep.
Hello, this is Tino Magnanen. You have a question for Travis.
Hey, Tino, I do. Travis was talking a little bit earlier. I should, I guess, say directly to Travis. You talked about the fact that employees have to, I guess, be working for the right reasons, or at least that's what you look for in your leadership. How do you handle those ones when you come across them that, you know, maybe aren't there for the right reasons? They are there for the title, or they are there for the money. How do you handle those? And I mean, and what type of impact do you find that they have on your organization?
Good question. And that is something that sometimes the situations change too, where someone thought it was this and it turns out to be something different. We've had to deal with that at Angel of the Winds, where and sometimes you have to make a change. You have to make a decision and move forward. But I also know that, just like myself, I wouldn't expect or I would hope, let me put it that way, that if the Sogamish tribe were ever disappointed in what I was doing or wanted me to focus on something else, or had a concern with something, that they would give me an opportunity to address that. I do that myself. I would never just come and cut someone out at the knees and say, you know what, we need to change. So that is that I want to be fair with that, just as I would want to be treated fairly. So to have someone in that situation, I think it is something that you have to take head on, and you have to deal with it and make sure people understand that expectations may change, or we need to focus on this. And at the end of those conversations, the actions and the results speak for for that situation more than, again, talk and discussion, whatever else. So I hope that people know that even current team members and past team members, that every opportunity was given, and it's just a matter of sometimes the disconnect happens and you've got to move on. So, but I hope to – hopefully I'm getting better at it as I get older with this, and know that, you know, ask the right questions, have the right conversation and discussion with people as they join the team, so they know, too, that – what they're joining and what they're going to be expected to fulfill is in the same line, because if it's not, I'd rather deal with it up front.
Do you find that that's a steep learning curve for folks that are coming in maybe from commercial markets that haven't worked in tribal gaming before, or is it pretty easily adaptable?
No, I think that you're onto something there, where I think there is a difference in, you know, I kind of talked about it before with the CEO type thing with stock options and cars and boats and vacation homes and whatever else. This is a different atmosphere. This to me is not corporate, and it is a little bit more personable. I shouldn't say little. It is more personable. I do encourage people to get to know who they're working for, like I mentioned, you know, a few times, but then also who they're working with, that it's not just another, you're not just another number, you're not just another title, that as we continue to grow and are successful, it is part of the responsibility of the team to get together and to make sure that they are working and focused on the right thing. If there's too many distractions and there's too many things that cause issues with the current or the situation itself, that is true, that they may not understand that. You know, they come from some corporate atmosphere where it is cutthroat and you've got to do better than the next person, otherwise I'm done. It is something that does take some time to understand.
Well, I think that,
thanks so much.
Thank you. You betcha.
Okay, go ahead. Did you have another question? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it lends to a lot more job satisfaction, I guess, in my opinion, when, you know, if you're the difference between commercial and tribal, if you know that you're working for, a government and you're helping the self-sufficiency of people that, you know, haven't had all those opportunities in the past versus lining the pocketbooks of some stockholders, then, to me, I think there's a lot more job satisfaction with that. There's a lot more purpose to your work. So, no, I appreciate the comments.
Yeah, no, thank you for the question.
Take it.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening. Yeah, some great questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Hello, this is Tino Magnana. Do you have questions for Travis O'Neill?
Yeah, hey guys. Thanks for taking my call, Mike in Las Vegas. Travis, some good insight. I wanted to just ask you a couple quick questions on your gaming operations.
Yeah.
One, the federal ruling on sports booking. We've obviously seen states and corporations pick up the mantle and run with this pretty quickly. We've seen the tribes a little bit slower to adapt, obviously for compact reasons and so forth. What is your view on kind of just sports booking in general? And do you guys have any plans up there to introduce it at some point?
Yeah, good question. And that's kind of like we talked about during the questions with Tino. I think the initiative has been taken up within the WIGA part of the industry, where the tribes and the casinos have worked together to create some sort of and push forward with some legislation within the state of Washington. But I know that the laws in Washington are very strict as far as gaming and even cross state lines. So I don't know how. It's gonna take Washington longer than some of the other opportunities, but it's something that the tribes and even our own property, we want to be at the table. We want to make sure that we understand the opportunity, so we can't just ignore it or say, yeah, we're not interested in that. That would be the easy thing to do. I think to understand the benefits, what it would bring to the operation, what are the risks associated with it, and then what are the roadblocks that we need to get through to make sure that the state just doesn't take it and run with it and put it in, and the tribes have no say into it. I think that's something that everybody's still working with and working on, massaging that language within the proposed legislation. But that's something that, as the WIGA group, that's something that we've all been involved with.
Interesting. And when you're on the you know, when you're on the floor talking to your guests, is there a buzz about it? Are they asking about the future for it, or is it kind of a moot point right now?
I think it is a moot point. I think they're right now, again, I mentioned that we're in the middle of an expansion, so everybody's real focused on kind of the bowling alley and some of the other things, but I'm sure there's going to be some questions, and we've got some ideas too going down the road after the expansion is open, but I think it is, no one really understands where the situation is, and it's really not here, but yet it's not not that far away. I think it's just a matter of waiting for a few other things to be presented, and then we'll figure out what that opportunity is. But no one really has mentioned it to me to, you know, when are we doing this? But I'm sure it's something that we would obviously want to take advantage of.
Yeah, great, great. And just one more quick question for you. So in the context of, you know, millennial and even our Generation Z gamblers are coming of age here, are you guys doing anything specific to court them, to market to them differently? Do you have enough of a database of that age demographic? You know, any thoughts on them in general as gamblers?
Sure. So I can only again speak of Angel of the Winds, and right now we don't, because we haven't really had anything that would attract the millennials and even younger. So Angel of the Winds is 21 and up, and that's something that, as we look within the next couple of months, you know, 6 months down the road, as we open the bowling alley, we open the steakhouse, we open the different food outlets, entertainment facility, that those types of offerings, that is something that, again, millennials want, just like anybody, though, really, want the experience these days. They don't just want to go and play this machine and then go home. Everybody wants to have an experience where they can take pictures, they can document that, share it on their social media. So those are things that I think everybody can do, no matter what they're doing. If it's not expansion or their current facility, it's creating those types of experiences that people want to be there and they want to share. And that's, it seems easy, but you've got to figure that out, and you got to put some energy into it. Otherwise, it is going to fall.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Well, hey, I certainly appreciate you guys taking my call. Travis, congratulations on the expansion coming up, and you guys have a great night.
Thank you, Mike. You too.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Tino Magnata. Do you have a question for Travis?
Hi there. This is Noah O'Neill, Travis's son. I just had a quick question for Travis. What is your favorite table game?
I would say double-deck blackjack.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right?
That's great. You sure your dad's good at that?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Noah.
Talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Your son's a hoot. How old is he?
He's 19. He's a freshman at Central Washington.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That was funny. I love that.
I know.
Oh, God. This is Tino Magnata. We have Travis O'Neill on the line. Do you have a question for him?
I certainly do. Good evening, gentlemen. This is Heidi Antizana from Temecula.
Good evening.
Good to hear you, Heidi. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How about you guys?
Good.
Good, good. Thank you for calling in.
Travis, thank you for all your insights. They've been really valuable. I've made a lot of notes here tonight. And first question, very quickly, is I'm really passionate about teams and companies living the company brand, per se. How would you say your teams at Angel of the Winds live your brand and the culture on a day-to-day basis?
I would answer that by kind of going back to the beginning before I even joined the company. The tribe wanted to be the world's friendliest casino, which when I first joined, and I'm like, wow, that's a bold statement. We got to understand that and try and wrap our arms around. But we have, you know, it's not directly on our billboards, it's like it used to be. It's not directly in front of our guest face. I would rather, and we talked about it as an executive team, we would rather have that behind the scenes to make sure that employees know that when they're, no matter what position they're in, no matter where they're at, that they understand what we're trying to accomplish as a team. And we use We go back to, you know, values. We know that to be a new employee or even a long-term employee since day one, that we follow the WE Act code, where it's we want to be welcoming, we want to be engaged, we want to have that customer service level on the casino floor. We have accountability that no matter where you're at, that we're able to answer those questions, we're able to find those answers and get back to the guests, to other employees, to make sure that everybody is informed. And then the last is team, that we make sure that, and I know I messed those letters up, but then the team, because if we're not working as a team, then we're going to miss some steps. And if someone is on the floor,
sure,
they need something, they need to know where this is, let's not just say, hey, it's over there on the east side, go find it. Let's walk them. Let's talk with them. Let's make sure that we're addressing their concerns. And to me, that's what, you know, everybody has the same slot machines. I mean, everybody has heard this numerous times. Everybody has the same
mm-hmm.
table game. Everybody has similar food outlets. But the thing that, you know, we want, that we're trying to do and continue to do and focus on, I don't know if we're ever going to make it, but it's something we always need to be on top of, is that customer service level, that if we're not doing it, then we want to be better than our competitors. And as long as we're improving and we create the best operation that we possibly can, competition will take care of itself, if that makes any sense. So
sure,
that's
sure.
We want to, and we'll continue to, as we add new employees, as we, you know, reinforce that with existing employees, that's something that is that is there every day when employees walk in. We know what that means and can recycle.
Yep. Wonderful. And then, Tina, may I ask one more question?
Absolutely.
So, I don't know if I've got the years right, but I think you've been in the game for 16 years, have you not, Travis?
I've been in the game for 28 years. I've been out here for... Yeah. I've only worked for two
properties.
Yeah, because
you started young, right?
Yeah.
Travis,
yeah.
You started at, what, 16?
Yeah.
Wow.
You were 16 when you started in the bingo hall, yeah.
So my question here is, what criteria do you feel a leader, a manager in tribal gaming needs to have in order to lead their teams into the future?
Great question. You know, again, I think it's that leadership. It's the vision, right? Because if I'm in this position and want to take to look at down the road and where are we going with this place? What are we trying to accomplish? If we don't have that vision or that ability to look down the street a few blocks or however you want to put that, that's something that's important, right? Because otherwise we're just going to sit here and work on things and improve that. But how do we expand and how do we make sure that we're taking advantage of every opportunity that we can to grow the market, grow our customer base and to continue to deliver to the tribe? I think that is an important piece. I think the other I talked about a little bit before is the communication piece. The communication with not only the ownership, the tribal community, the Stillaguamish tribe, the other important piece of that is the communication with our team members, that they understand
mm-hmm.
that we're all in this together, that if there's any concerns, there's anything that frustrates you on whatever position you're in, sometimes we can't adjust that or can't really fix that because of regulatory issues, whatever that may be. But it's something that as long as they can share that with me or with their manager, director, however that is, then that takes that burden off of them and they can focus on what needs to be, you know, whatever they're dealing with. So I think it's a combination of those things. I've just been very lucky. That's how I put it. To be part of like this, it's been cool. It's awesome, and I enjoy every day.
You know, Travis, thank you very much. And you've mentioned that word luck a couple of times, and I'm going to correct you. I don't think you've been lucky. You know, the definition of luck is where preparation and opportunity meet, and I think you obviously were prepared for those opportunities.
Well, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful evening, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Have a great night.
You too.
Great questions.
Yeah.
Great
very
questions.
Good.
Yeah. Hang on a sec. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. I have Travis O'Neill. Do you have a question for him?
I do. Hi, Tino. This is Layla from Muckleshoot. Hi, Travis. How are you?
Layla, how are you?
I am doing well, doing very well. Thanks for taking my call. I actually have a couple of questions for Travis.
Sure.
Travis, as you know, we are, knee-deep boots in the ground with kicking off Muckleshoot's expansion.
Right.
What advice and or insight could you provide or would you direct towards a marketing team specifically during the rollout of our early stages of expansion?
Again, and Layla, I'm sure you know this, it's the communication, not only with team members, but our guests, right? Because if things are going to change or there's a change to this outlet, there's a change to this entrance, there's a change to the machine that they like, they like to know what's going on too. And if we don't address those concerns up front, then they're probably not going to come back until you're done. And we faced that here at our property when we added the hotel. We had to make some adjustments, and people just said, hey, until this is fixed, we're not going to come back. But learning through the years, we want to minimize that impact as much as possible. And then also the other part of that, or I guess the benefit of that also, is to it creates the excitement itself within the expansion, within the information to our guests that they can anticipate a new whatever it is, if you're working on casino floor, you're working on hotel, whatever, then people start talking about that and it creates a life of its own. So I think it is, that communication thing is key to pretty much everything.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. And kind of a twofold, with our expansion and obviously, my core team being marketing and promotions. I also like to remind my team that, don't ever get too comfortable. And kind of with that statement that I live and work by, are there any valuable lesson or do-over you wish you could go back to, or maybe a pitfall you may have experienced that you walked away with the most valuable lesson as it relates to casino marketing, and maybe how you correlate that to implementing change, because I think those go hand in hand. So any insight or any lessons learned that you're willing to share?
Wow, great question. I think it is the one thing that you learn from, not so much mistakes, but you can get into a rut of complacency, right, where it's just easy to do the same thing over and over again. But to me, that is something that I try and identify right away, because if we continue to do the same thing over and over again, the guests are going to realize that, and that's not what they deserve. So that is one area that I try and keep on top of to make sure that we are trying things differently, because that one thing that I can't really refer to anybody, but I know it's out there that, the quote of just because it's always been done this way, does that really mean that it's right? And to have that mindset within the organization, I think to have people understand that, yeah, it's comfortable the way we do things, but is that the right thing that we're doing? Can we improve this? Can we do something different to make sure that whatever we're doing, we're impacting positively and progressively improving the business? And that is something that I fall back on and always, again, looking at it from up close to far away, it's a matter of what are we doing with anything throughout the casino operation, and how can it be improved? Because it can. There's always things to work on. There's always issues. There's always things that create frustration that we need to realize, and how do we address that?
So yeah, hopefully that's well,
thank you so much, Layla. Really
advice.
Appreciate it.
You are very, very welcome. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Have a good night.
See you later. Bye-bye. Great calls.
Yes.
Hello, this is Tino Magzana. Do you have a question for Travis?
Hi, this is his daughter, Riley O'Neill.
Hey, Riley, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Do you have a question for your dad?
Yeah, actually, he was talking about mentors, and he's actually my mentor for going to college to business college and moving up the ranks in the casino. Yeah, and I just wanted to say that I'm very proud of him, and I'm proud of what he has done in his life, because that's what I want to do eventually.
That's fantastic.
I just had a question of, who was his biggest mentor when he was growing up?
Well, thank you, Riley. And she's a senior now, too, at Central Washington, so I appreciate the comments.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
that's great. Awesome. Fantastic. Great family.
Yes. Biggest mentor, I would have to say uncles, various uncles, grandparents, you know, again, just people that I love spending time with.
It's fantastic.
All right, well, thank
yeah,
you.
No problem. Thank you for calling in. Thank you so much. Yeah, great family. Really great family.
I wonder if my youngest son is going to be calling in, you know.
Well, we got time for one more, so I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not, but let's see here.
Oh, I love it.
It's fantastic. They're great kids. You can tell, and it's really endearing that that they called in. I love that. I really love that. I think we got room for one more here. Hang on 1 second. Let me see. Okay. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Travis?
Aloha, Tino. Mike Hanui, how's it going?
Good, Mike. How are you, my friend?
Great, great, Travis. You know, it's been a great show so far, and you know, I know we're getting to the end of it, and so many people have kind of asked the questions that I usually am curious about. But you know, you talked about it in the beginning and how important education was.
Right.
I just got a quick question for you. It's kind of a two-parter, but they're pretty simple. You know, when you look at that, and again, a credit to you for the time, you know, you mentioned being how long you've been at East Property, and that is very remarkable. But in that time, you've had 12 years to kind of create the culture that you wanted. How have you implemented, I guess, education on a team member level for your team members so that they can continue to grow while working at the property? And how do you encourage them to kind of grow and take that next step? Are you guys affiliated with Central Washington or other things like that to help kind of spur more education?
Sure. Great question. So, no, we're not affiliated with Central, but it's a great idea. If you don't mind, I steal it. It is something that, you know, we do education reimbursement for employees up to a certain amount to, again, encourage and entice them to, you know, finish that degree or to whatever that is. So if, you know, if they're better off in their personal life and they understand how important that is, to me, they'll be a better employee and understand the opportunities that will be in front of them. So we do offer that type of benefit for employees and anything, you know, just like if there's any seminars, if there's anything in the gaming industry that directors, managers want to attend to gain more knowledge, we're more than happy to send them and to support them. Because, again, as they come back and they put that knowledge and understanding into motion and they change something on our casino floor within our operation, it goes back to the benefit of the tribe. And that is, to me, the ultimate goal.
No,
yeah,
very, very true. You know, so true. And then I guess the other part, you know, out of all the places I've been, we always talk about succession planning. So what do you do to kind of recognize that next tier that's ready to learn, that's ready to grow? You've seen it through their actions, and that they're ready. How do you acknowledge that? Is there a formal process, or do you just kind of do some informal mentoring to get people to that next level?
I would say it's you know, somewhat informal, but I know that everybody shows their level of engagement differently, right? So it's a matter of judging who shows that and who's hungry for those opportunities, who wants to be there to help out. And it is, to me, up to them individually to show their level of interest. And again, that's something that I did when I was – I can't just put myself in those situations either, but what can I do to help out and to have that – or for me to hear that or to see that from different managers and above or supervisor and above, that's the important piece that some people don't understand, where it's not just a hand pick here because of whoever. You do need to go after it. You do need to show that you want to be part of this operation. And, you know, as far as succession planning, we do love to encourage and would love to promote from within. Sometimes you do need an external perspective just to make things, you know, again, as you continue to grow, the level of knowledge and experience needs to grow also. But those opportunities will always be there for employees to have that effort to make sure that they say, hey, can I be part of the bowling alley because I'm interested and I want to learn more? Those, to me, are the golden times that you can take that person, put them in a position that they might not know so much, but at the end of whatever time that they're in there, they're going to take so much away that they're going to turn that bowling alley into the best one in how many miles. So those are the types of situations that I look forward to and cherish, because it's cool to see people grow and become and become a larger role within the facility.
No, that's fantastic, Travis. Hey, thanks again for your time. I hope you have a great one. Great show.
You too. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Michael. Have a great night. Well, Travis, it's been a fantastic show. I really appreciate you coming on. A lot of great wisdom and a lot of great stories on here.
Thank you, Tino. It's been interesting. Again, I think in the beginning, I want to, again, share my appreciation to you, because this is an awesome format to hear the stories and to, I've listened to a few since, you know, you and I have talked a few weeks ago, and to hear the just everybody's story. It's awesome to put these things together and document. So thank you for your work, and you shed a lot of light on many unique stories. So great job.
Thank you so much, Travis, and great job to you too. We'll definitely want you to come back on the show at some time.
Well, thank you, sir. And then before I go, I just want to shout out to Lower Sioux and Sogwamish.
Cool. Very good.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon. You have a great week.
All right, you too.
Goodbye, my friend. Thank you. What a great interview. Travis is so such an amazing person, and a lot of great stories. Let me see. I have my next interview is January 31st. I've got next week off. I'm at Pechanga at the Raven Conference. But we'll have Christine Gabaldon, Director of Marketing for Buffalo Thunder. She's coming on. Don't miss it. And remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to take the time to listen. Have a great night, and God bless everybody.